If you'll just join me in a word of prayer, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start a new three-week series for the month of July here called Greater. So won't you bow your head in a word of prayer with me today? Father God, we love you and we praise you and we just adore you just want to always take moments, not just on Sunday morning, but throughout our weeks and throughout our life, to just take moments to just pause and look to you and say thank you, and to let you know how much you have changed our hearts and changed our lives. And just let you know that we recognize what you've done for us and you didn't have to do any of it. So Lord, today we say thank you. And God, as we come together as a church, we come together under the hat and the title of the body of Christ. We come in where two or more are gathered in the name of Jesus, and we come to worship and we come to learn and to see where you guide us in our walk with you and in our faith. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will be present, as I know that he already is, but that you'll just guide me in my words to be able to rightfully divide your word in a way that is encouraging and life-changing, life-offering to those who are here today. And God, we also pray for the work that's happening on the other side of those walls as a family comes together to support a hurting loved one and a community. No doubt, many people throughout the area are going to come and support, have some spaghetti and just say, hey, we got your back. So Lord, I thank you for things like that, where friends and families and neighbors rally behind each other in times of need. So Lord, we do pray for your hand of favor to be on that spaghetti dinner today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, like I said, we are beginning a three-week series called Greater that will take us all the way up to the weekend before Church in the Park. And the heart behind Greater is that many of us know that God is calling us to something more, but we don't know where to start. Many of us know that in our Christian life, we're not supposed to just be mediocre, that we're not supposed to just be average, that we're not supposed to just be on spiritual autopilot all our life. But we know that there's something bigger out there for us. We know that even though life is good, even though life is consistent and life is secure, we know that in the day-to-day, there's a greater purpose. And sometimes you experience it. Sometimes you live it. Sometimes you see glimpses of greatness in your life. Sometimes you see glimpses of where God is performing a miracle in your life. But sometimes we just fall into this rut of good enough. So throughout this series, I want to challenge you to leave your life of good enough behind and embrace what Jesus calls greater, what Jesus calls greater things. So just to give you, to start with, just three quick definitions so that you can see where I'm coming from as I put all this together for us today. When I say good enough's not necessarily bad. We're getting by, we're living our life, we're following Jesus. But good enough, I say, I'll give you these three definitions. I'm defining good enough is baseline living that is marked by mediocrity, stuck in spiritual survival mode, and controlled by complacency. I'm good. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I go to church. I pay my tithe. I help in the nursery. I do what I need to do when I need to do it. But I'm on spiritual autopilot. I'm just in survival mode. I've become a little complacent. I like my job, but my job's just a paycheck. I'm good at it, but it's just a paycheck. What if you kept the job, but you started to do it with more passion and with more purpose because God's gifted you to do it and God's provided it for you? Good enough. Greatness, sometimes people talk about being called to greatness. So greatness is this idea that's kind of out there. So my definition I'll give for you today for greatness, to strive for greatness is this, it's a good thing to strive for, but it's also kind of this vague, like unrealistic aspirations of just doing better, but it doesn't necessarily work in real life, and instead it kind of often leads to this endless frustration of, I want to achieve greatness, but I never quite arrive. I can't quite get there. You ever tried to be great and just get frustrated because you're like, no matter how hard I try, I can't get any traction. So-and-so is always two steps ahead of me. But you don't want to be good enough. You want to be great. So my definition for you when I say greater, my definition for greater and what I think Jesus is calling us to in John 14:12, when he says, you will do greater things than what I have done, is my definition for greater is the life-altering understanding that God is ready to accomplish a greatness in your life that is entirely out of human reach, beyond anything that you see yourself on your best day, but exactly what God has seen in you all along. It's the purpose that God wants to achieve in your life. It's the ideal God following, God surrendering, life surrendering, deep surrendering you that God calls you to be. It's not just me. It's me with God. Greater things. So to begin looking at this series, I want to take us to the calling of Elisha, and I want to see, we're going to understand three invitations that God has for all of us that intertwine with how he's calling Elisha to a life of ministry and to a life of committed, all in following of God. So if you've got your Bibles or whatever you got, if it's going to be on the screen too, it's 1 Kings 19:19-21. So here's what it says starting in verse 19. It says, so Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. Let me kiss my father and my mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Go back, Elijah replied. What have I done for you? What have I done to you? So Elisha left him and went back, and he took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elijah and became his servant. Now I want to show you, I mentioned John 14:12. I want to show you one more verse. I want to take this to the New Testament for you real quick, so that you see the whole picture that I want to put together for you today, and hopefully can encourage you and inspire you and give you some tools to go about farther in your faith today with these invitations from God. Here's what Jesus says. This is Jesus speaking. Okay, these are red letters. In if you got a red letter Bible, these are the red letters. This is Jesus talking. It's not John writing an opinion of what Jesus said or continuing the story. This is Jesus talking. And it says, Jesus says, very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these. Greater things than Jesus. You ever read this and question your whole life? Question your whole walk with the Lord? Now, greater things than Jesus, the Savior of the world, the greatest man who ever lived. 100% God, 100% man. Giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, turning water into wine. Greater things than Jesus? Really? Really? Now, I read this and it makes me question things. It doesn't make you question things. It makes me question the commitment of my own faith, the outcomes of my own faith. It makes me question how I'm leading my family. It makes me question how I'm leading the church. Are we truly tapping into the greater things that God is calling us to? Or are we content to just live a life of mediocrity or a life of good enough or a life of complacency and say, well, I heard the gospel when I was 3 and I gave my heart to Jesus, so that means I go to church on Sunday. But God calls us to greater things. And he says at the end there, because I am going to the Father, God in us. I want you to pray with me one more time. Father God, I pray, Lord, as we look at this passage, that, Lord, you will teach us and guide us and grow us and give us tools to go out into our lives to do great things for your kingdom. Father, I pray that today each one of us makes a decision to leave something behind that's holding us back from the greater things that you're calling us to. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My title for this sermon, this message today, is Burn the Plows. Burn the Plows. Now, there's some parallels in these 3 invitations from God that I want to kind of walk through 3 specific things and then wrap it all up for you so we can go eat some spaghetti, all right? And then we'll move from there. Now, when you look at this scene, one of the things that's happening is Elisha doesn't realize what's coming his way. Elisha, see, if you just pick it up in verse 19, you don't really see the whole story. You don't really see what's the context of what's happening. Now, as Elijah with a J is out doing ministry and living the life that God has called him to, he just went down a pretty long road leading up to verse 19. A road of highs and a road of lows. Now, if you're familiar with the story of Elijah, really he had, in the chapters leading up to 19, there's some great things happening. Like you get the scene where, if you're familiar, where they build the altar, and it's Elijah and his God versus the followers of Baal, and they build an altar, and the Baal followers can't seem to get that thing caught on fire. So Elijah soaks, there's a big moat around, he soaks the thing with water until it overflows. It's all filling up this moat, and he just prays. And then a second, God just burns that thing to a crisp. Now, don't read the rest of the story. They end up killing everybody. So you know what happens next. But this is a pretty big high moment in his life. And then you got the situation with the mother and the son who have just enough flour to make one cake, and they're just going to eat that cake, and then they're going to die. And Elijah comes in and says, hey, make a cake for me first, and then God's going to take care of you. And she does that. She trusts him, and God comes through in an incredible way. And it's just event after event. And then as it all kind of comes to a head, Elijah is tired of fighting battles with wicked people who are coming after him, King Ahab, for example, and he's scared for his life, so he takes off running about 200 miles away, and he gets into this state of depression. And all of this is happening, all of this is, we're experiencing all of this, and then we step into this moment where God has preordained that Elisha would receive this calling. So the first thing that I want you to see, the first thing I want you to see that you have on the back of your bulletin there is God invites us to a higher calling. God invites us to a higher calling. Now, I want to be clear before I go too far with this. I want to make sure that we're on the same page, level playing field, because I try to be honest from up here. You probably appreciate that, right? Like, you guys appreciate honesty from a church pulpit? Yeah, some of you do. Some of you are like, well, I don't really care. Just tell me a funny story. You appreciate the honesty, right? So I hope you see my heart in this before I go too far with this. You know, when I say higher calling, when I say what God is calling us to, a lot of times that can be misconstrued. And I've been there sitting on your side of this conversation and you think, oh, okay, I get it. Like, all right, so I'm a mechanic or I'm a salesman, I'm an accountant, or I do this, I do that. And if I really go all in with God, if I really want to be greater, the higher calling means I get to be the preacher. Or that's when I'm actually achieving something. I'm actually doing something great with God if I can preach, or if I can sing, or if I can teach a Sunday school class, or I can really step out in faith, and then I've arrived and I'm doing something great. Now, I want you to know that's not my heart, and that's not what I share at church, and that's not what I believe God calls us to. When God says higher calling, it doesn't mean your calling isn't high, your calling isn't important if it's not in full-time vocational ministry of some kind. Because I believe God has, we need Christians everywhere, right? We need Christians in every field, every God-honoring field, right? Every field, we need Christians there reaching people and being examples for Christ. So God has uniquely gifted you and uniquely placed you where you're at. But what if you're doing what you're called to do just good enough? And today, you need to be restored. And you need to start doing what you do with more passion and with more purpose for the kingdom of God. Because you can do what you do with a whole lot more purpose. You can do what you do a whole lot more for Christ. So that, I want you to know, is my heart as we look at the higher calling. So here's the scene that's happening. So I gave you a window into what's going on for Elijah, what's going on in his life. But here's what's happening in Elisha's life. And this is important because, you know, most of us are not in danger of ruining our lives. Most of us are far more in greater danger of wasting our lives. Do you hear what I'm saying there? See, most of us in today's day and age and in this middle class mediocrity world that we live in, most of us are not in danger of ruining our lives and losing everything and living on the streets. Most of us are far more in danger of wasting our lives. But let me tell you, so here's what's happening for Elijah. Elisha was working a job. As far as we can see, as we dig into Scripture, there's nothing in Scripture to say that he was searching for something greater. He was invited to a higher calling. But he had a great gig. As far as we know, he was a very content man, and he was very good at what he did. He was very good at what he did, and he probably enjoyed it. Some scholars, they look at the history, and some assume that he was possibly in charge of everything, that he was the head guy in this situation. But what we see here, that it happened in a moment, but let's think about the moment in his life. What's happening in his life? The scripture said that he himself was plowing with 12 oxen and was driving the 12th pair. Now, when I think about that, so think about, now just, I don't know what you do for a living. I know everybody has a lot of varieties of what we do for a living, but what he was doing on this day and what he did for a large part of his living is he's leading 12 oxen and he's on the 12th one. He's spending every daylight hour on that day looking at the rear end of a farm animal. All right? He's looking at the rear end of a farm animal that's roughly the size of a garbage truck and doesn't smell any better. You see what I'm saying? So he's out there and he's doing his work. He's working a job. And we have no reason to believe that he doesn't like it. No reason to believe that he's not content in that job. But in one moment, God swoops in and calls him to a higher calling. He didn't have to leave the job to achieve a specific higher calling. You don't have to, but he was called to go on to do something else. He was called to do something greater. He was called to follow a person and to follow God, not a plan. So the illustration in this farm animal thing is not to say that it's bad to do that. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, or that that's an awful existence, I think he probably liked what he did. I think he was probably happy with what he did. But what I see is he was invited to escape this scenery of defeat and negativity, and maybe for us sometimes that's material possessions or something that's consuming us, something that's holding us back. He was invited to say, all right, I'm done looking at this. I'm ready to move forward, and I'm moving forward. I'm following God as he calls me. But that doesn't mean that that you have to leave what you're doing to achieve, but maybe you need to pursue it with greater passion and greater purpose. But I want you to hear in this first thing that God is inviting you to a higher calling that may or may not mean leaving where you're currently at, may or may not be changing anything other than what's inside of you. But he was called to follow God, and we're called to follow Christ. And he made a decision. And I want to ask you today to make a decision. That's the second point I want you to see. God is inviting us, just like he invited Elisha, to a deeper surrender. To a deeper surrender. Now, when you got saved, one of the things that we say when people get saved is we say, he made Jesus the Lord and Savior of his life. You made Jesus the Lord of your life. You surrendered your will and your way and everything about you to Jesus as he's now your Lord. He's leading you. You're seeking his guidance in everything that you do, right? Before you make a major life decision, you're seeking him. You look at Jesus' teachings and say, okay, how does this apply to my life? You are the Lord of my life. I'm done going willy-nilly through life and living for myself. But when we make that decision, we are surrendering our life to Christ. We are surrendering our decision-making process to Christ. We're surrendering our hearts to Christ. But we're invited here to a deeper surrender. And when Elisha accepted God's invitation, he was accepting an invitation to a greater life. And he made a decision that I want to invite you to make today. And the decision that he made was he eliminated his out. He eliminated his out. And if you would see that in verse 21, he literally, as he accepted God's invitation, he literally burnt the plow, the plowing equipment. He burnt the plow that he was riding on that day. You want to talk about all in. You want to talk about commitment. They burnt the plow, and with the fire from the plow, they slaughtered the oxen, and they all ate. When he said yes to Elijah, he said, okay, I'm all in. I'm done with what's behind me. I've made a choice. I am 100% fully surrendered to this. I am burning everything, and he wants us to burn everything. When we make the decision that we're going to make Jesus the Lord of our life, when we're going to follow Jesus. Now, you might have surrendered your life to Christ 32 years ago, but maybe there's still something in you that you're holding back. Maybe there's something that you're like, God, I'm giving you everything except for this. Maybe you still have a plow. Maybe you still have a wagon sitting back here full of stuff. Maybe you've given God everything but your finances because you don't quite trust him. Maybe you've given everything but your career. Maybe you've given him everything but your marriage. Maybe there's something where you say, you know what? I don't quite trust you with this area of my life. Or maybe there's something in you that says, you know what? If this Jesus thing doesn't work out, I have an out. I can still go back. But when God calls us to surrender, he wants all of us. He doesn't want wishy-washy. He doesn't want just enough to get to heaven. He wants all in disciples. So are you fully, deeply surrendered? Are you ready to burn a plow today and stop thinking about what you could go back to and start thinking about what you're running towards? What's holding you back from being greater? What's holding you back from being everything that God has called you to be? What's the thing that you've been dragging along, and you know that even though you've been walking with the Lord for 10 years, your maturity level is still that of a child, and the reason is you haven't said goodbye to what he saved you from. Are you ready to fully surrender? So what kind of plows do you want to burn today? What are you ready to burn? What are you ready to lay down at the altar and leave behind? What are you ready to walk out of here and say, I'm running straight to the cross? Are there things in your life, are there plows in your life that you need to burn today? Do you have dependencies in your life that you need to say, you know what? I've been relying on this. I've been depending on this. But if God is truly my all in all, then today I need to say, yes, you are. Yes, you are. You're the one I depend on for even the breath in my lungs. Maybe it's the plow you need to burn is like ways of thinking that are in you that are not of God. Like maybe you're really smart and really philosophical, a really deep thinker, and all your life you read these philosophies and these ideas that man has created, and you've always continued to study these and continued to let these things control the way that you think. And you need to today say, you know what? These are all nice ideas and they really tickle my ears and they really get me excited about what could be. But you know what? If it's not in God's word, it's not necessarily the truth. So I need to build my philosophies and build my ways of thinking from Scripture. Are you ready to burn that plow? Are you ready to burn plows of bitterness towards people or resentment or excuses that you make for not doing what you're called to do? Are you ready to burn some plows and pursue greater things today? What's holding you back? When Jesus says, follow me, what do you got in your U-Haul? What's in your U-Haul that you need to leave behind? Are you ready to just put on the cloak and walk? Jesus calls us to greater things. But he didn't say that we would do greater things necessarily just than him, but that we would do greater things through him. Because he's going to heaven, and because Jesus is in us, because Jesus is living in us and working through us, we can do greater things for whoever believes in him. So the greater things that we're called to do is he wants this open-ended obedience to say, yes, God, I will follow you. I'm going to accept the invitation. I'm going to make a decisive and divisive break with everything that is tying me to the life of good enough, the life that I once had, the life of mediocrity, the life of just 40 hours a week, 9 to 5, coasting through my day. And say, I want everything that you have for me. To be that person of purpose and that person of passion as we serve our Savior. If God takes something from you or removes you from a situation that you thought was good to begin with, he's inviting you to something greater. God's inviting you to something greater. And the step you need to take is deep surrender. Burn the plows. Burn the plows. What do you want to burn today? What do you want to burn? What do you want to carry to the altar and just leave it lay there? Wouldn't it be amazing to get up from this altar today and walk out that door freer? Freer because Jesus says, my burden is light. And I trust you, that old wooden plow you got on your shoulders, it ain't light. It ain't light. But Jesus' burden is light. So you take that yoke that you've been hauling along and you put on his yoke. And it's so much more of a free and easy, peaceful life. It ain't taking away all your troubles necessarily, but you're gonna have the strength to get through. Now I wanna close with sharing this with you before we sing again, and I do invite you to come down and pray if you wanna talk. I wanna fast forward you to the end of kind of the end of the story, kind of the end of Elijah's life, Elijah with a J. Now, Elisha, he gave up a lot to chase after Elijah. He gave up a lot. And when you came to Christ or when you come to Christ, there are some things you're giving up because we're called to better things. We're called to purity. We're called to holiness and righteousness. But you give up some things. But just like for you, Elisha got back something so much greater than he could have ever imagined that he got back by choosing to burn the plow and the cattle and just say, I'm following Jesus. I'm following Elisha. I'm all in. So years after Elisha began to follow Elijah, just before the transition point, just before turning the ministry over where the student becomes the leader. So there's this moment where the student asks the mentor this staggering request, the staggering blessing that I don't know I could imagine asking this, but he did. He asked Elijah for a double portion of his blessing, of the work that he accomplished. Now this is really key because Elijah was regarded as the most powerful prophet in the history of God's people. His miracles were unparalleled and unprecedented, but yet their story ends with chariots of fire and horses of fire as Elijah ascends into heaven in a whirlwind. And as he's ascending, God delivers a double portion of blessing on Elisha. Now, it would have been remarkable enough just to do great things and do good enough things to simply share in the miracles, but God wanted to give Elisha something so much more than he even expected, greater signs and greater wonders and greater authority and greater faith. And he asked a hard question, and he asked for a blessing that could have come across as so selfish and so like, I just want to be better than the boss. I just want to do better than the guy that's been mentoring. Come on, give me a greater legacy. It could have been so great, but yet James says, we have not because we ask not. Now, I don't know if Elisha ever had second thoughts about what he was doing, about asking that question or about burning the plows. But I bet he didn't have second thoughts or doubts or remorse whenever he was experiencing the double the amount of miracles that Elijah had. Even though it's scary, even though it's walking away from something and it's receiving something we're walking away from something that you know and you can control, you can see it and you can touch it and it's predictable. It's hard to do that. Maybe had second thoughts in some of those windows. I don't know. But I bet when God was doing more in his life and through his life than he could ever ask or imagine or ever even reasonably expect to happen through him, I bet he wasn't doubting then. And you won't either. You won't either. The devil's going to tell you that you will. You're going to think that you might. But I tell you that once God takes you to a greater place and you leave your lesser life behind and live a life of higher calling and a life of purpose, you're not going to look back and regret it. You're far more likely to have regrets in your life if you look back and see what you didn't do than to look back and say, I am so glad I followed God. I am so glad that I burnt that plow. If you start having second thoughts about a wide open journey with God, consider what's at stake. To not burn that plow and go all in with Jesus. What are you giving up? What are you giving up? I mean, you might like what you're holding on to. You're holding on to it because you like it, right? You might like what you're holding on to, but what you're giving up is greater authority and confidence in God than you've ever known. What you're sacrificing is greater purpose as you approach everyday tasks. What you're giving up in turning down the invitation is greater joy in knowing that you're not just working a job, but you're working a job in your sweet spot because you're working it for the glory of God and you're doing what he designed you to do. And I know many of you are working the job that you are absolutely designed to do. And God is praised when you're working that job. And I'm not just talking about people that do ministry. I don't care what you do. As long as it is moral and ethical and beneficial for society, you worship while you do it and you're in your sweet spot, God is praised. I've seen some of you guys in action. You're in your sweet spot. You're giving up that if you don't choose to burn the plow and say, I'm all in with Jesus. You're giving up greater influence over the people around you because people want to be impacted by people that are doing what they love to do. If you're a teacher, but you absolutely hate kids, who is going to be blessed by your ministry? Do them a favor and resign and go do what you're made to do. Do everyone a favor and find what you're made to do. My dad told me about a guy one time, a guy hired and fired a lot of people, and he said, I think my job as the boss is that if someone doesn't like their job, my job is to set them free so they can go find what they want to do. Because they can find their place and find their purpose. And by not choosing to burn the plow and follow God, you're giving up a greater impact in the world. None of us are going to be Jesus. He saved the world. None of us are going to be Billy Graham. But you have impact. You have a spot. You have influence. And until you burn the plows, you're not going to be what God called you to be. We got to surrender and leave it behind. Burning the plow is great, and it's how we discover the greater life and we discover what God has made us to be. So as the worship team comes up, I invite you, I implore you, I pray for you, I ask you, if there is anything in your life that you have not surrendered to God. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. Ain't nobody's looking, nobody's talking. If there is anything in your life that you're holding on to that's holding you back from being all in and deeply surrendered with God. Are you ready to burn some plows? Are you ready to experience greater life? Are you ready to experience what God has made you to do and who God has made you to be? If you are, why are you still carrying that plow? Trust me, life's gonna be a lot easier and a lot lighter if you just let go, and it's gonna be a lot better and a lot greater.